new study out today is calling on the federal government to reform its funding of post-secondary education for Canada's First Nations students. The study, completed by the Macdonald Laurier Institute, a new think tank here in Ottawa, proposes that funding to bands for post-secondary education of their members be offered instead directly to the students. For more on the proposals, I spoke with the co-author of the study, Calvin Halen, an Aboriginal author and lawyer, and the managing director of the Macdonald Laurier Institute, Brian Lee Crowley. Brian Lee Crowley and Calvin Halen, first of all, thanks for coming to speak with me about this. It's an important subject, and I appreciate you taking the time out to talk about it. Mr. Crowley, let me start with you. You have this new nonpartisan think tank in Ottawa, and this is your first paper out today. Why have you decided to make, you know, the coming out party, if I can put it that way, about this particular issue of post-secondary funding for Aboriginal students?
Well, I thought it was terribly important, first of all, to do something about Aboriginal policy. I think it's something Canadians have very strong feelings about. They are not satisfied with the way Aboriginal policy is being run. We thought here in Aboriginal post-secondary education was a classic area where we could put a new idea on the table, individual responsibility for students themselves rather than administration by the band, that would kind of strike people as an interesting idea, and it would situate us as talking about a broad range of issues and not just narrowly economic issues, which a lot of think tanks do.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Halen, let me turn to you. You conclude that the current funding structure doesn't really work best for the students involved. Why not? What's wrong with the current system where the federal government puts $314 million through the band councils into post-secondary education? Why isn't it working as far as you...
In a nutshell, because the money that's committed doesn't always get to the students. The money is put in a form of block funding to chiefs and council, and often the money is spent on other things. And so you have a situation where essentially... The most important money, in my opinion, that comes into Aboriginal communities is the money for education, because that's where the future brain trust and the future of the nations lie. And what happens is the education funding decisions for individual students are made subject to a patronage football. So if you're related to the chief or there's connections to the council members. So essentially, there's no meritorious or any other kind of fair system for Aboriginal people to get funding. And this, a lot of these, the abuses that take place with the funding have been documented in various studies and by federal government audits.
I mean, it's a pretty serious indictment of the way the current system works to suggest that it's essentially a patronage handout or a nepotistic handout, I suppose.
It's not entirely, but the problem is it's not the most optimal use of dollars, and it's not just the Canadian public that is interested in seeing that their dollars get spent well. It's the actual recipients of the funding themselves. They would like to actually have the money for what it was used. The Aboriginal students, and from the point of view of Canada, with the demographic crisis coming, we need those young people in the workforce.
Okay, so what you're recommending is an Aboriginal post-secondary savings account. How would it work?
Well, anybody who's familiar with a registered education savings plan is going to have a pretty good idea of what we're talking about. Basically, when a young Indian is born in Canada, we suggest we should create an account in their name, credit it with $3,000. Then for every year that they complete of secondary school, basically from grade 6 to grade 12, we would credit a further amount to their account so that by the time they graduate from high school, they've been given an incentive to finish high school to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then when they graduate, they're going to have basically $25,000 in an account that can only be drawn down for post-secondary education. And that means that if they then register in any bona fide Canadian post-secondary institution, trade school, college, university, they will be able to draw that money for tuition fees and living expenses.
What happens if they decide not to pursue a post-secondary education?
Well, the thought is that they'll have 10 years in which to draw the money out of that account. At the end of 10 years, the money is essentially recycled back into the program and put into the accounts of other students who have not yet gone to university.
Mr. Halen, with this kind of a proposal, I think, as you know, will, from a lot of quarters, will draw a reaction that, oh, look, here, you know, it's up to, you know, band councils and up to First Nations people just to decide how to use money that's sent to them from the federal government, and not up to the federal government to start at square one and decide how money will flow to individual First Nations recipients. So what's your response to that concern that this is, you know, the hand of Big Brother in Ottawa, or could be, if the proposal were to be accepted, dictating someone's financial future?
If I were an Aboriginal student that was not given funding because somebody absconded with the funds, or it was used for other purposes other than what it was intended, I would be interested in seeing something that was fair. What this system does is it ensures every Aboriginal student has the opportunity to have post-secondary their post-secondary education funded. There has been a big interest from the Aboriginal community in Indian control over Indian education, mm-hmm. is the statement. And the reason for that has been, I think, largely because of a lot of the abuses that came out of the school system with residential schools and so on. But what greater Indian control over Indian education is there than to have the individual and students themselves empowered to control and the finances for their own education?
All right. What should we expect as a response from the federal government, Mr. Crowley, to this kind of a proposal?
Well, I was invited in to meet the Prime Minister today as we were opening our doors and put out our first paper, and he kindly invited me to come and see him. He promised me that he would see that the report made its way into the hands of the Minister for Indian and Northern Affairs. We've already spoken to a number of Aboriginal leaders around the country. Their reactions to the report are already contained in the report, and there's been a surprising degree of support for it. So I think that I'm hopeful that the minister will say, now there's a very interesting idea, and I think we're going to give it some very serious consideration. That's about the best you can hope for.
All right, well, we'll see where the idea goes, and I want to thank you both for coming in today to speak about it.
Thanks for having us.